Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Okay, so we continue with the five crowns of the believers. And today we're going to be dealing with the crown of righteousness. Talked about the crown of joy, the crown of rejoicing last week. Today we want to deal with the crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. To start with, we'll look at Proverbs 16, verse 31. Let me just read this. King James, then we'll go to Message Translation. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Amen. If you found the way of righteousness, the hoary head is a crown of glory. If be found in the way of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll take a simpler translation, maybe NLT. Let's look at that. Hallelujah. 31, I said, gray hair is a crown of glory if it is gained by living a godly life. Hallelujah. Gray hair is a crown of glory if it is gained by living a godly life. That means you can have gray hair without living a godly life. By implication, you can grow old without the influence of godly life. And there's no honor there. Hallelujah. So here you feel that crown, like we keep saying, is not just something you get when you get to heaven. Remember what prompted all of this? Because we've been told that when we get to heaven, we're going to be wearing seven crowns. So I'm just reading it for you to understand what crown indicates. So here he says, gray hair is a crown of glory. If it is gained by living a godly life, that means you can become old without living a godly life. And there's no honor there, there's no glory there. It's like what people say, good name is better than riches. I mean, if you understand that. So a good man living a godly life and he grows old, people will honor and respect that individual. And sometimes you get into pressure unnecessarily and you'll be developing gray hair. I mean, if you understand that pressure can make you develop gray hair. That's why I see most of the president, they get gray hair in the office before they come out. Have you noticed that? Pressure of governance. Hallelujah. I don't want to mention a name here, but remember American president, young man, went there, but time he was out of the old place. You remember? Can you see the hair? What made him have that? Pressure of governance. You live in a wicked life, you can get older than your age. You see the crown, but it's not a crown of honor. That's a crown of dishonor, because you're getting older than your age before your time. Because you're living a wicked life. So, I'm just reading this for you to understand what crown really speaks for. It's not necessarily what you get when you get to heaven. There's a dimension of the crown that we're going to be dealing with today that reflects on when you drop this flesh on the other side of life. But essentially, like I keep making you to see, crowns have nothing to do with the other side. They have more to do with your present life, your life of dominion. Remember where we're coming from, the case of Esther? How many of you remember that? Right. Praise God. Okay, go with me. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. And verse number 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and verse number 8. Sorry, verse number 7 first. 4, 7. Right. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, I want you to understand this. The primary thing I want you to get there is, I've finished my course. What is the cause? If you take time to read your Bible, Luke chapter 1 and so on, you will see how that Abia was in the course of, Zachariah was in the course of Abia. The course of Abia. What that means is, he was functioning in the course of Abiathar. Abiathar was one of the priests. And according to the book of Numbers, you find that Moses allocated the function or the duties of the priest to each and every one of those tribes in the most holy place, in the temple. So you minister part time, you finish, you go out, another person comes in. So that's your course, that's your season, that's your time. That's your assignment. So when we say Zachariah was in the course of Abiathar, that means for the time for the Abiathar priesthood to function in the temple. Are you following what I'm saying now? So when Paul said, I've finished my course. Again, remember Jesus said the same thing. For this course came I into the world. For this reason, whatever the case may be. So when you talk about course, you're talking about the assignment that God has for you. And that is very, very important, you understand, on the basis of where you are going to obtain your crown. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. What was the course? If you must remember, the primary course that God gave to Apostle Paul was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Do you understand that? Very good. So the sphere of his operation that God gave to him is what is referred to as what? His course. So you must know your sphere of assignment. That's the critical thing about this passage. How it's linked up to the crown of righteousness. So look at verse number 8. Henceforth, watch that, because I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've lived on the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all men, all them also that love is appearing. Now I want you to get this. This appearing has to do with the time of his reward. You can call it the time of judgment. We're going to go into that. But I want you to see how your cause is linked to the crown of righteousness. So primarily, the crown of righteousness is gotten based on reward. It's a reward for being faithful in your given assignment, in your given duties to perform. Are you with me? The crown of righteousness is given to everyone based on your faithfulness in performing that assignment that God is giving to you. I've already told you people this. Thank you, Father. You see, when you are appointed into an office, maybe a deacon, a cleaner, a washer, anything, sweeper, you know, you think it's the pastor that appointed you. But no. One thing you have to understand is God is the one that finally approves you. That assignment given to be a pastor is what God approved. Let me give you an example. You see, God spoke to Moses to tutor 70 elders, right? That he may take of the spirit of, that's number chapter 11. He will take of the spirit that was upon Moses that put in upon them. The people to be chosen was done by who? By Moses. But the approval was from who? From God. What about the deacons? Do you think it was difficult for God to tell the apostles, say, go choose deacon to serve tables? But he said, no, choose among you. And he gave the condition of the people to choose. Acts 6. Is that okay? Now the deacons that were chosen by the brethren were approved by the apostles. And of course, they were approved by who? By God. So now, for a deacon who is chosen to serve table, that becomes his or her course as far as the assignment of God is concerned. Are you getting that? So your reward of righteousness is based on how faithful you are as a deacon or a deaconess in this context. Your reward of righteousness is based on how faithful you are in keeping to cleaning the church or doing whatever thing that's meant to be done. It could be menial. You look at it as a menial thing because maybe you are not holding the microphone, but that's not the point. The point is you are appointed to do this. I'll become a cause for you, an assignment for you in the house of God. You see, Paul had a cause. The cause was minister to the Gentiles. Zacharias was on a cause, to minister in the temple on behalf of the people. So if you clean in the church, for instance, you minister on behalf of the people. You put in it right before them, I mean in the presence of God, so that they can have a comfortable atmosphere to worship God. Are you getting that? So when I talk about a cause here, don't look at it as something, oh, come on, I don't have a calling. Everybody's got a calling. Everybody. You have to understand that. Before I come back to give me Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. We are for holy brethren, partakers of what? The heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Heavenly calling. The calling you have is a heavenly one. You first call into the body of Christ, and within the body, you got an assignment, which is also a continuous calling. You have to understand that. So your duty, your responsibility, your understanding of the assignment that God is giving to you is what finally redounds to when you receive what is called the crown of righteousness. Are you getting it now? So back again, 2 Timothy 4, look at verse number 7. Let's take it again together. I fought a good fight. This is in terms of being a Christian now. I finished my course. My course. Don't miss that. My course. Not the course. My own course. Within the course, there is a course. For each and every one of us. I finished my own course. I've kept the faith. Look at the next thing. Pay attention here, people. Henceforth, there is laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness. Why? Because I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. Get the point right. You are not expecting a crown of righteousness when you don't go to three levels. A good fight. Stay on with the truth. Stay on with the word. My course, the assignment allocated to you by God. The faith, the Christian faith, never denying the truth of the gospel of God. Three dimensions by which you can walk toward receiving what? The crown of righteousness. But the primary thing is your course. So, do you know why you are called? And do you know the course, the assignment God is giving to you? This is the point. And some of you hanging on the computer, all of those things, you may not know that you are doing a particular assignment that God has given to you. And so sometimes you don't take it serious. But that's your course. You are not going to jump from the computer and come here and start preaching and thinking that you are now a preacher. No, you can, probably. But for the moment, for the hour that we're in, your assignment, your call that God has given to you, to stand behind the camera, to stand behind the computer and do the recording. That's your course. And then your faithfulness in doing what God is giving to you to do in the household of faith is what enables you to begin to speak like, "For henceforth, there's laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness." If you're not faithful in what you are asked to do and what you are doing, you can't make that statement. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you still here? 3 days ago, I did a post. The question that, where does God live or does God live in heaven? That I'll be answering the past 16. And somebody made a comment all the way from Cameroon, and he said, "You have been consistent, and I follow you all these years, and your teachings have grounded me." I have to go check out who this person is. I find it's all the way from Cameroon. And the person had me preach some years back in Cameroon, and he said, "The books you brought, they are still in my shelf. I am the only one that bought those books during the crusade." We had a crusade in Cameroon then. Now, this person I'm talking about, I started a church, and the church is blossoming. And he said, "Your words, which deposited in my life, is what I'm using today. You have been consistent. You have not changed. I've been following you, but you don't know. I keep on following your teachings right from that time till now. You've been consistent." That's the main thing. I can tell you for free, if I have to stand before God, I'll be able to tell him, I've never deviated from the message you gave to me to preach. I'm not going to do it to please men. I have to please he who called me. Hallelujah. Are you following this? I have finished my course. I've fought the fight. Fight of faith. Henceforth, from this hour, the ground of righteousness is laid up for me. Hallelujah. Say, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day? The day of his appearing. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his word is appearing. Everybody. That means everybody is qualified for this. Get the point right. This is a crown that is based on what? Reward. Your faithfulness in what he has called you to do. Agree? Everything is by faith. Everything is by grace. Yes. But then, if God gives you an assignment based on the grace he has given to you, you have to count yourself faithful in that grace. Paul said the same thing. "I labor more than you all, not by my own strength, but by the grace of God, which you give it unto me." How many of you understand that? Grace enables you to walk out your course. So think about that. Hallelujah. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. You know, this, it claims, is like saying, my due reward. But the crown I expect, watch that. It's not a fading crown that I keep explaining. It's not a crown that will wash away or fade like the one you get in the Olympic in those days. It's a crown of righteousness, the reward with God in his kindness has promised to everyone who is unfaithful to the grace that he has bestowed upon them. And that's the point I'm raising. This crown is given to you based on your faithfulness in the assignment that God has given to you. So, you can trade away your crown by being unfaithful. You can trade away your crown by considering other people who are not faithful in their callings. Hallelujah. You know, so many people are so confused today. They don't even know who they are. They don't know why they are in church. They don't even know why they are called. I wonder if you are going to be able to say, "I finished my course." That's very important for you to understand. Hallelujah. He talks about that day. Who love is appearing that day? That's the day of judgment. Often you look at that from what people call the day of resurrection. But remember, I told you here, there is no one day called the day of resurrection. And that was more or less kind of Jewish belief. Because you know, but Jesus had to correct that impression in John chapter 11. I mean, if you remember that. When Mary and Martha, Lazarus was to come out of the grave, he said, "We know on the resurrection day." And Jesus said, "No, I am the resurrection and the life." So what day would that be? Every day, anytime he appears to reveal himself to you based on his reward. Okay, are you not saying Paul is lying down somewhere waiting for one resurrection day for him to get a crown? No. What did he say in the book of Philippians? He said, "I desire to be with the Lord, which is more important for me, beneficial, but I've chosen to stay so that that will be your reward. Benefit to you," Philippian church. I don't know if you remember that. To depart and to be with Christ. So Paul is not in any cemetery waiting for one judgment day when trumpet sounds and people are going to fly from the sky. I was sharing with the brother who visited me today, Pastor. He has a question and I look and I ask the question. When you talk about first and second coming of Jesus, you explain this to me. We are all looking upstairs to see him come. How did he come the first time? He was stuck. No, you tell me. How did Jesus come the first time? Because he says he's coming second time. I agree, I have no problem. But how did he come the first time? Scripture says, speaking to Mary, it said, the power of the Lord shall overshadow thee, which is the glory of God, and that holy thing that shall be found in you shall be called what? The Son of God. How did Jesus come? He came in the glory. How do you expect him to come today? In his glory. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, the reward is not just some days to come. You finish your course, you get your reward. Hallelujah. He said, unto all them also which love is appearing. Where is he appearing from? From within. Glory. Them that will love is appearing. As a judge. What judge? Not to condemn. It's appearing as a judge who put judgment right and give reward to everyone. Every judge gives reward to people. Which is sentencing, whichever way you want to put that. Praise the living God. What do judges do? Because we're talking about reward here. So you're not thinking of judge or condemnation. But judges are the people, for instance, if you have in your athletics competition, you have the judges, isn't it? Come on, are you there with me? Right. So judges are the ones that give reward. So this is not talking about judgment in terms of sinners and whatever. That's not what we're talking about. This judgment in terms of reward for being faithful in what you've done or what you've not done. Hallelujah. So just like you have the judges, you have the referees, all of those things in competitions, that's what we're looking at here now. Amen. So he's saying when he appears as a judge this time now to give reward, he judges you based, I'm going to show you some of the things by which he judges you. Praise the Lord. All we love is appearing, expectation of the coming of Christ in a way. Praise the Lord. And one of those things is this. If your love is appearing and you've been faithful in what he has called you to do, you'll be joyful to welcome him. You know, people get scared when they talk about Jesus coming. What scared them at all? Coming to judge the world, coming to condemn the world. Can I shout this loud and clear again to everybody? Listen and listen closely. God judged sin in Jesus. Jesus judged the devil on the cross. The saints are to judge the world. Get it right. Hallelujah. So even if Jesus is coming to judge the world, it's going to be through the saints. 1 Corinthians 6. Have you read that before in your Bible? Go over there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 1. Let me show you. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that what? The saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge a smallest matter? So you understand what judgment means here. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about Jesus appearing to judge in the context of 2 Timothy, we're not talking about coming to condemn people. We're talking about coming to give reward as a righteous judge. And the reward you get and be faithful is a righteous crown, crown of righteousness. Can you see that? So don't miss this point. Paul wasn't just joking when he wrote this. And I'm just giving you the sequence, the way it goes. Don't expect God to come and judge this world. God is not coming to judge this world. He has committed all judgment. In fact, John chapter 5, Jesus said, God has committed all judgment into the hand of the Son of Man. How many of you remember that? He didn't say Son of God, he said Son of Man. You know what that means? Because that is the human nature. In the human nature, all judgment is in his hand. And the Son of Man, by extension, speaks about his body, which has to do with the church. Son of Man is not just a single man anymore. Praise God. Are we here? Is anybody following me? So, wish you have joy if we are faithful when he's coming. So anytime we say Jesus is coming back for judgment, we should be rejoicing. Why? We finish our course. He's coming to reward us, not to condemn us. You are a saint. Why are you afraid of your master? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Only the wicked run away, no man pursue it. Why are you afraid? Are you a wicked man? No. You should be happy. It's coming. Why? It's my time to get my reward. It's my time to be crowned with the crown of righteousness. So it's a thing of joy if we say Jesus is coming again. It should be a thing of rejoicing for each and every one of us. If only we are faithful in the cause that has given us to pursue. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. The world can be mad, but not the church. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, the world can go crazy. The world can be hiding, but not we. We should be rejoicing that is coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in context, no one is excluded from being successful. Get it right. Except your own negligence. Because, if you consider the parable of the talent, you remember? Each person was given according to the measure of ability or grace that they can handle. Is that okay? Everyone was given that measure, the ability by which they can handle to trade with the money. God is so expecting you to do beyond the grace that he has given to you. So if you're a minister, for instance, and your congregation is 3,000, 400,000, whatever, praise God. That's the grace he has given to you. Other people can just have the grace of 200, maybe 1,000, whatever the case may be, right? That's the measure of grace. God is not going to judge you because your church did not grow up to 400,000 people. No! The parable of the talent explains that. The 10, the 5, and the 1. Remember that? He didn't come to question it. Why didn't you do this? No, like the other man. No. The one you have was a profit from the one that was given to you. So understand what grace stands for. The ability to multiply the measure that's given to you is what qualifies you for your reward. That ability there, the assignment there, is your cause. And that is what determines your reward. And that reward is the crown of righteousness. Some of you can just be called to assist people. Amen. Just assisting people. Some can just be just through partners. That's your assignment. We read Luke on Sunday, Luke chapter 8, remember that? How the women were contributing. Can you imagine Herod, wife, Joanna, or whatever name now? Right? The Bible said we're all contributing. Can you imagine the name of that woman came to the scripture? The Bible didn't say the woman was a preacher or a prophetess. But the assignment she carried towards Jesus is what made that name to come into the scripture. You cannot read the scripture today without reading about the woman that is Herod's wife. Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm talking about? Why? Because she ministered to Jesus. I told us here some time ago, remember this. As far as Babylon is concerned, King Nebuchadnezzar was not the first king of Babylon. But he was the first king that took Israel to captivity. So his name came into the scripture because of its interaction with Israel. Your interaction with the body of Christ is what put your name in the scriptures. Look at Mary Magdalene, that 7 demons were cast out of. Was she a preacher? No. But because she went and ministered back unto who? Unto Jesus. The offering she offered, pouring that spices on the feet of Jesus, is what put her name on the record. But we're not told when the devil were cast out. But we're told when she offered. Come on. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's what put the name on the record. So your services are your reward. That could be your assignment that God is giving to you. I finished my course. I want you to understand. Henceforth, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. He has an assurance he had a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he finished his course. How many of you remember Joseph Arimathea? A high publican man with money. How did the name come into the scripture? Because he provided a tomb to bury Jesus. He offered to Jesus. And that's all. Hallelujah. Amen. And record had it that finally he became a missionary to England. From being faithful in providing, God raised him to become a missionary to England. Don't live your life thinking that everything will just end just the way it is. Don't live your life wishy-washy, considering other people who are not committed, who are not faithful. Don't live your life that way. You have only one life to live. You have only one course to fulfill. There should be a day when you'll be able to say, I finished my course. And one thing I love about Paul is this. I finished my course. Aside of this one, if you go down, he goes to say, I'm about to be offered. He knew when he was about to die. Death did not take him by accident or by chance. When you are your course, how many of you understand? Help me now. Here was Apostle Paul being stoned to death, and the brethren came and prayed. Some of you think, I gave you two reasons. Basically, one, why he came back to life. Because, you see, he was actually dead. How do I know? The Jews can't stone you halfway and leave you. They must stone you until you are gone. I mean, you remember the guy that was killed in the north. They must stone you to death. That's the way it was with the Jews. When Jesus was seen as dead, he didn't say, wait until you stone him halfway. They must stone you to death. Jesus said, the woman, John chapter 8, spoke to the Pharisees, you have not to take the first stone. That means she was supposed to be stoned to death. So it's not halfway journey. So Paul died. But how did he come back to life? You see all the brethren gathered to pray. That is just phase one. But the primary reason was he was forgiven of the things he committed against Philip. Stephen, rather. In chapter 7 of the book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned to death, he had the materials of Stephen, the clothes of Stephen, right? But Stephen prayed, Father, add not this to their sins. Don't add this to their sins. So Stephen forgave Paul right there. So when the brethren came to pray, Stephen got out of the grave. I mean, Paul got out of death. Now, I'm trying to say this for you to understand that nothing can kill you if you're on your course. Can I hear an amen to that? If you're on assignment for God, nothing can take your life. I want you to understand this. I want you to believe this. I want you to treasure this fact. Am I on my course? Then you have no cause to be afraid of anything anybody can do, not even the devil. Praise God. I finished my course. Henceforth, a reward is laid up for me, which is what to do with the reward, a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm trying to say everybody is qualified for this because everybody has a course. So if you have a course to fulfill, then you have, ultimately, you receive your crown of what? Of righteousness. Based on your faithfulness, based on your commitment, based on your love for what God has asked you to do. Look at Philippians 1 verse 19. Crown of righteousness. Philippians 1:19. What did I say? I was wondering. For I know that they shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. Can we go back a little bit? Let's start from verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that thee shall turn to my salvation. Was Paul saved or not? Hallelujah. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yeah, talking about being in prison and be delivered from prison through the prayers of the saint. But the key point I want you to know is the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Remember, Christ is our righteousness. So, when we talk about receiving a crown of righteousness, what are you looking at? We're talking about you having more of the supply of what? The Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of righteousness that comes from Christ. Hallelujah. In this content, Paul was saying, I know I'm going to be saved from all of those things that are coming against me. All the people that are standing against me to put me in prison, whatever, preaching out of pretense to have more armed, more evil to me, more chains to me. I know you, Philippian church, your prayers shall bring salvation from me. In other words, I'm going to be delivered from all of them all. Why? Because I'm on my cause. Hallelujah. Are we here? So we are talking about the reward that comes to us based on certain rules of the race we are running. Here is based on holy life, the crown of righteousness based on holy living, which all translates to the righteousness of Christ. It's a reward, not of debt, but of grace. For it is by grace of God that each every one of us is fitted for glory. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? This reward comes which have to do with the life of God, more of the supply of the Spirit of Christ, to live out the life of Christ that is within you, that He has intended each and every one of us to live. Amen. And like I said, this reward is common to faithful people, to everyone, not just to the apostles or anybody else, but all who love is appearing. In other words, every believer who has lived his life based on the life of Christ, which is God's righteousness that comes from within, will receive this reward. Let's look at Colossians again. 3:3-4. Colossians 3:3-4. Colossians chapter 3:3-4. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in who? In God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him what? In glory. Are you following this? This will take you now to next week's study on the crown of immortality. We appear with him in glory, which is part of the crown of righteousness, the word that is laid up for you. So Paul was inevitably saying, I'm walking into another life which has to do with immortal life. I'm dropping this flesh, but I'm moving on. I must continuously remind you, life does not end here on the globe. Neither are you going to drop this flesh and remain in the cemetery until one trumpet sound, that deception. The trumpet that is sounding is what you're hearing now. It's the gospel. It's the message. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at the scripture that really captures what we're talking about. Revelation 22, look at verse 11. Revelation 22, look at verse number 11. Is your machine getting problem? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I don't have no problem with you. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Soon. Now you will remember, the whole of this sermon basically was for the seven churches. I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as to what his work shall be. Can I hear an amen to that? God rewards you based on your works. Somebody say, oh, we live by grace, not by works. You don't understand what the Bible is saying. It's not by work to earn your salvation, but it's by work to get your reward. How are you going to get reward without work? Who says that? That's not what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Look out through the scripture. You begin to see how the master came to reward. The master came for reward. How many of you remember that? The unjust reward and so on and so forth. There's always a reward. Jesus gave all of those parables. As a matter of fact, Peter had to address this practically with Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 19, reading from 27 to 28. And he told him, hey, we have followed you all this while. We left everything. What shall be our reward? Clear statement. Jesus did not deny them that saying, oh, when you get to heaven? No. You see, your reward, you left everything, you're going to get a hundredfold. But in the time of the regeneration, you shall be judges over the 12 tribe of what? Of Israel. When I sit on my throne, you also will sit on your throne. He gave them the reward right here. So don't tell me when you get to heaven, that's when you get the reward. Jesus never teaches that. And don't tell me salvation is all cover everything. You don't. No. Salvation, grace covers you in terms of your salvation. But your reward is directly connected to your works. No two ways about that. So you see that? Go back again now to Romans, Revelation 22, verse number 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according that his work shall be. Take it from maybe any other translation, maybe Amplify. Let me just show you that. Behold, I'm coming soon. How soon is soon? Often and again, I used to see all of this. The Lord is coming soon. Repent is coming soon. Have you seen all of those things? How soon is soon? The church can't even explain what it means to be soon. They don't understand what Jesus meant. No room for that today. I'm coming soon, and I bring my wages and reward with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. Period. Did you get that? Did you see that? So, go back to the top, verse 11. He who is unrighteous, unjust, and wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy, vile, impure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, and in right standing with God, let him do it. Let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. I come quickly. By implication, it rewards you based on your action and the kind of life you live. Grace doesn't cover this one. This is not dealing with salvation, this is dealing with reward. When it comes to reward, it's work and your life and your actions. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we here? You're looking cold. Don't worry. Whatever categories you are in here, you only need to look at it and say, God, no, I don't want to be in this category. You can move from being an unjust person, but being a wicked person, to be a righteous person. Because you know, for everyone, actions that you put up, life you live, there's a reward for it. Absolutely. Let me show you something. Psalm 18, verse 25. with a kind and merciful, you will show yourself kind and merciful. Listen closely. So that you have to see this harmony. As it is in the Old Testament, so it is in the New Testament. God doesn't change. It's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Are you there with me? With a kind and merciful people now, you will show yourself kind and merciful. With an upright man, you will show yourself upright. Are you getting that? Look at the next thing. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the perverse, you will show yourself what? Contrary. Look at verse 27. For you deliver afflicted and humble people, but we bring down those with what? Haughty looks. Perfect. God doesn't change. He deals with you based on your character. He rewards you based on your character, based on your works, based on how faithful you are in what he has given you to do, in what your calling is, in what your assignment is, even in the house of God. So he's saying, you don't need to be worried. If you're wicked, just continue to be wicked. It's like saying, David, don't tell anybody to repent. Let them be wicked still. I'm going to reward the wicked based on his wickedness. It's simple. Hallelujah. Are we still here? So a reward is based on what? On character of the individual. This is something I needed to get. The reward we're talking about is based on the character of the individual. Paul will say, I fought the fight. I finished my course. I fought the fight of faith. Understand that. He's faithful. He's committed. He stood with the truth of the gospel that he believed. That's what he means by those three levels of fight, or warfare, or accomplishment. Here I is holy, let me be holy still. That is pure, let me be pure still. Understand that. Amen. That is righteous and holy, be confirmed based on the character and conditions by which they live their life. The wicked basically are those who reject the instructions of God to do what pleases them without consideration for what God really wants. As a matter of fact, those who don't uphold the truth of the gospel, they are referred to as wicked people. The wicked are men. Not just people killing people in the street. Not just the armed robbers. But these are men who hear the truth and will not stay by the truth. These are people who receive light and will want to walk contrary to the light that they have received. The Bible refers to them as being wicked. I was sharing with the pastor that visited me today. He asked me some questions. How is it that people... how you've been received in this environment in terms of your message, the way you teach, all of those things, because they are not normal. That is, they're contrary to what is prevalent around the place. How are you coping with that? As a well, I got people that God has placed in my sphere to minister to, so I don't really care whatever. But I know there's contradiction, I know there's warfare going on, but that's not my issue. Now, but the point I'm raising is this. Some time ago, I don't want to mention the name, big denomination in Lagos, strong movement, we were all there. I joined to that network some time ago, and one day in the meeting, there was one of these guys that came all the way from the U.S., and normally used to preach in the conference. So they sent the usher, said, we're looking for one David Ogaga all the way from Warri. If you are here, please stand up. I stood up. Large congregation, ministers all over the place. I stood up. So, okay, you need to see this pastor, this officer, at the end of the service. So I went there to see him at the end of the service, one of the rooms there, the office I gave to him where he was counseling. And he said, you are Pastor David? I said, yes. I said, listen, we know about you. We know what you teach. And we know that the things you teach are the truth. So, but so what? You know why we can't teach what you're teaching? Because if we teach this thing to our people, the church will come down. And it has taken all years to build the church. So we can't teach what you are teaching now, because the church, people will go. Imagine that. And this guy was saying, you mean the minister said that? I said, exactly, I'm repeating verbatim what he told me. So people love the congregation more than the truth of God's word. Why would God refer to such people? Wicked people. He who rejects the truth and the light because of fear, because of money, because of crowd, they are wicked people. Because you will not allow truth to prevail. You don't allow people to get out of bondage. You don't allow children of God to see light. You subdue the light. You condemn the truth. All the time. You are a wicked man. He who is wicked, let him remain wicked. Hallelujah. And who is righteous, let him remain righteous. I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. According to the work, according to the life you live. My reward is with me. It's left for you to be determined to come into this place where Paul will say, henceforth, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. I know it. Paul is saying, I lived the life. Paul is saying, I did the job. Paul is saying, I kept the faith. All of these three dimensions, question me, I can give you results. I fought the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Are you following me? And henceforth, the crown of righteousness laid up for me. So you can know if you are qualified for the crown of righteousness, which is more of the life of God coming into your life that translates into the crown of immortality, which is the crown of glory. What about the next thing I'm going to share it with you? I'll see Todd next week. It graduates into that. Because the more you receive the life of God, the more the glory of God that comes to you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Praise the living God. Let us go back and read the passage again. 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. And that will close. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Take it from Amplify. Let's see what else is saying there. Hallelujah. I fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I've finished the race. I've kept firmly held what? The faith. Hallelujah. And look at the next thing. As to what remains, henceforth, there is laid up for me what? The victor's crown of what? Righteousness. For being right standing with and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense me on that, what is that? Great day. Hallelujah. Will reward me, recompense me, will acquit me with on that great day. I fought the good fight. What remains? The crown is laid up for me. In other words, I know. It's not a question of, do you know tomorrow? Do you know what? No, you should know. If you kept the faith, you should know. If you fought a good fight, you should know. If you finish your course, you know. If you finish the three levels, these dimensions, you must know. And the next thing that I'm waiting for is a crown of what? Of righteousness. You don't need anybody to preach you into that. It is something that you get to know. Hallelujah. Have I helped you tonight? God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.